राधे
जगद्गुरु कृपालु परिषद प्रेजेंटिंग चेंज योर थॉट्स चेंज योर लाइफ पॉडकास्ट फॉर अ बेटर एग्जिस्टेंस।
लाडली लाल की जय। मसूरी, it has such a special place for all of us, those of us who had the good fortune to go there. It was a unique kind of leela that Sri Maharaji played there. On that instance, I can remember being taken by surprise when Maharaji started chanting and pushing me, and I was a bit slow sometimes to realize I had to jump between the hedges, and of course walking backwards with a big camera on your shoulder. No excuses. It was utterly charming to watch him. It was in Missouri in 1985 that Sri Maharaji said to myself, study these books, you're going to become a Pracharak. And so as the years went on, I had a special affinity for there. I always felt that taking new satsangis to Missouri was a good way, a very gentle way to sit close to Maharaji and see him in a very relaxed environment without hordes of people. Sewa Kunj, as many of you will know, very small. When I first went there, the hallway where Maharaji would sit with us was really narrow. It was only later they extended it. Then, of course, we moved into Radha Kunj when it was built next door. But devotees who went there, it was on the weekends, the numbers would swell, and through the week, sometimes there were not a lot of people there at all. I remember the first summer after being in Missouri, we went down to Mangar, and Maharaji was teaching me, etc., as you know. But when it came time to go back to Missouri, no word was mentioned by Sri Maharaji as to any of the Pracharaks in study. And by study, I mean there was 10 people ahead of me. I was on my own in my year. But it was so hot that one was getting rashes because of the heat for a New Zealander to go into a hot, hot summer of India. It was quite a challenge anyway. Buddy Gigi, she went with Maharaji by car. He was going to Lucknow and he was going to catch a flight from there. And when Buddy Gigi came back, she had such a twinkle in her eyes as she called me and she said, "You're going to Missouri with us. We're going and you're coming too." And then Maharaji said, "Well, why just him? Let all of the Pracharak students come." And when we went up to Missouri in those days, there was not enough people at all to do all the sevas that were required. So often, in fact always, the Pracharaks were delegated things to do. One of mine was to wring Maharaji's clothes once they were washed and try and get the water out, etc. Others was to clean the windows. It was an extraordinary time, like just a big family. And so when you watch these old videos, of course, you're reminded, oh, yes, oh, because you forget. And when you see these images and the videos, you go, oh, that's right. But you're also aware of the passage of time. You saw, for example, a very young Sanjay, almost just like a boy. There he was, and now he's grey-haired and serving the Gigis as he served Maharaji and Amma through the years. And when we realize the passage of time, we really do have to take stock of ourselves, and this is the serious part, really. How am I? How far have I come over these years? Where am I at? What's my status of longing for Maharaji and Radha, Krishna and Amma? How serious have I taken his teachings? I'm reminded that there are two types of meditation. One is the formal time when you set aside your sacred hour, whatever time you designate each day, to focus on Radha Krishna with your eyes closed, to build the emotion, the power in your heart, and the tears to flow for them. But we should not make the mistake of separating our devotion and our time in the world. Some people get up and they go to their business, and the job suddenly becomes more important because you have to be present, you have to do your job diligently and carefully. But sometimes it's at the expense of your remembrance. So there is a time when you, like a sannyasi, you sit in your sacred space and you've got the images that you like, you're playing the video of chanting or listening, or you're just absorbing yourself. But when you move out of that orbit into activities that you have to do, this is where the real work is to be done as well. Real as in, you can't put your foot on the accelerator during the designated time of devotion and then take your foot off and then go into the world and then come back maybe later in the evening and put your foot back on the accelerator. Now it's time for 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever you do of devotion, and then take your foot off. Accelerator means remembrance, Rup Dhyan, feeling the divine presence. Because if you add that up, you'll see, oh gosh, you know, in 24 hours, I've done an hour and a half. And then I've got absorbed in my daily activity. Well, the ratio is not good at all when you look at it like that. Our Maharaji says, a true sadhak is one who 24/7 is thinking on Radha Krishna, shedding tears, why aren't you coming? When I was studying again in Mangar, I think I may have shared with you in the past this, there was a relation of Sri Maharaji's, a white-haired gentleman, and he would sit on his rooftop through the night, and you would hear him calling out Radhe sobbingly, piteously. You'd hear Radhe. He passed away, of course, long ago. And it was an extraordinary thing to be in your room in Mangar and hear this every night. And we have to advance. So the idea is to take your time outside of your designated sacred hour and really tell yourself firmly awareness of Radha, her name, Rup Dhyan of Maharaji or Radha Krishna, is really important, so important that if you don't do it, you've taken your foot off the accelerator and your vehicle comes to a standstill. And in those 23 hours or 24 hours outside of your sacred time, you're accruing karma towards the world. You're reinforcing attachment to family, possessions, ambitions of the world. You're absorbing by listening to others the thoughts that are in their head. And they're not satsangis, let's say, because hardly anybody in this world is. So when you go out and engage with people, your mind is going on the business that you have to do or the conversation that's surrounding you. I saw a talk recently. Maharaji's telling someone, look, you're moving forward at the pace of a python. A python moves so, so slowly. And Maharaji said, I do have satisfaction in the fact that you're going forward. but you're not going forward in the right way. You're not going quickly enough. We used to laugh. We still do when Maharaj would say, Jaldi karo, Jaldi karo. Right from untangling the wool that was being wound, he'd go like this and then throw it back to the person. He would give burfi for someone whom he considered was the one that was winding the most balls in a day. Always he would be putting his foot on the accelerator. Do your seva, do your remembrance. And so this is for each and every one of us individually to answer. We cannot, especially the older satsangis, we cannot live our life now carelessly. We can't just allow the years to slip through our fingers. For when you approach 70 and towards 80, you know the bell is going to toll. So we need to wake up. A serious subject, but Maharaji is full of joy and love, and he wants us with all of his strength. And it's been obvious through his whole life how much effort he's put in to us to accept the seriousness of the situation so that we can play in the Braj in gopi form, where there is no trouble in our hearts, our minds are clear, divine body, divine mind, divine senses, a manifestation of love in the Braj, like all that is there. How hard he has tried to tell us the value of this, like he often tells the story of the ring, which is considered by a person as just being made of glass and nothing valuable because they just found it lying around. But a jeweler informs him, hey, it's worth 15 million rupees and the change. Well, we would love that change to occur, wouldn't we, in our daily activity, our remembrance. And Maharaji has said, what have you got to do? It's so easy. You just need to take the name of Radha and accept she is in the name, to meditate on their form, to consecrate your life in their direction. And there is a wealth of material that we can use for that purpose, from videos to audio, reading, etc. This is not a new tune I'm sharing with you. It's something that Maharaji, in every life, every breath of his time on this earth, was to inspire us to utilize our time. I want to immerse myself in the presence of Maharaji, be with satsangis all around me, and we're all going in the same direction, as we are now, by the way, by participating in this satsang. We are our own. This is our family. We are Maharaji's children. We are Amma's children, which means we are the children of Radha Krishna. And when we share like this, we are all, we understand. We can just nod at each other and go, yes, we're all going in the same direction. And for me, that's part of the attraction of going to Mangar or Masuri or Vrindavan, is to be with other souls who just understand what you're doing with your life. There is no need to explain who you are, what you're doing, why you're devoting to Radha Krishna. Just a look is enough. Unless, of course, they're novices and don't know anything. That's an entirely different matter. But for us, we're veterans, you could say. We are on this path firmly. Maharaji, Radha Krishna, the divine Braj, is in our sights because of Maharaji. So in this way, I'm urging myself and you and each other to up the tempo. It's just the mind has to break the habit of worldly thinking and create the habit of devotional thinking. It's the transition, and it will take, it's still taking time, and mostly it's being dragged out because we haven't made that firm decision to get up in the morning and maintain it throughout the day and night. Sri Maharaji lets us know that he hears our thought. He knows our thoughts. He knows our sentiments. And when we move into a devotional bow, a devotional sentiment, how he responds, how he comes running to us, and how, when we make mistakes through arrogance and ego and anger and nam aprad, how he, like the Divine Mother, the court of infinite mercy, how he overlooks our faults and keeps waiting for us to come to the right frame of mind and keeps educating us and providing the facilities. So in this way, I just want to say to you, as much as to myself, go deeper, go forward, go harder. It's after all only your mind that he's asking. Just think on him with devotional sentiment. But we willfully say, no, I have to do this, I've got to go there. And if you are in a working environment where you've got the phone going so many times in a day, people asking of you all the time, the responsibilities, the immense weight on your shoulders of the job as it's required. Okay. But Maharaji won't let us off the hook even there. He will say, there are times through the day when you can just acknowledge him there, sitting on the corner of your desk, standing by the door smiling at you, arms open to embrace. If we think like that, then all of our activities become a seva, become correct manasi seva. So we can't give ourselves excuses because there are none. Oh, I was too busy to think on you. Okay, then stay in the world. There are no excuses, nowhere to hide. But all we need to do is think on him with loving sentiment, and he will respond. But just remembering these things wakes us up, inspires us to go deeper, to go further. Invite Sri Maharaji, embrace him, look into his eyes, pledge your life to him, your very breath, place a garland around his neck, pranam to his very soft, tender lotus feet. And the same for Radha Krishna. Just take that moment, Roop Dhyan, feel his presence. Ladli Lal Ki Jai. Radhe.
Thank you for joining Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad podcast.